You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, local, state, national, we are covering down on all the issues going into hour two now, and we are still solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, I'm pleased to bring somebody on who's been a personal friend and a friend to the show since we started. Matt Clark is the president of Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Matt's got a great legal background with a degree from Liberty University, spent time working for the Alabama Supreme Court, spent time working for the Freedom, I've forgotten the name of Judge Roy Moore's organization. He'll tell me in a minute, but now he's the president of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Matt, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. What's the name of Roy Moore's organization you worked for?
It's the Foundation for Moral Law.
Thank you. I kept wanting to call it the Freedom from Religion Foundation. I knew that wasn't it. So,
you know, when I first applied with a job to work for Judge Moore on my cover letter, I called it the Moral Law Foundation. And then I realized after I submitted it, I'm like, I got the name of the organization wrong. So fortunately, the chief of staff had a sense of humor about it. And he was cool. But not the way you want to kick off an interview.
No, I'm sure. Well, listen, I've done worse in an interview, I can tell you. Well, hey, man, listen, I've been, you know, you and I have talked multiple times on this show and off the air about Center for Law and Liberty and the fact that you guys are duking it out on behalf of the rights, the constitutional liberties, the civil liberties of people in this state and beyond, making your voice heard. You had a great track record. And a story out on 1819 News today is you guys just filed a new brief in that lawsuit regarding Navy SEALs looking for their relief from the vaccine mandates. Talk to me.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Phil. So, you know, we've seen various challenges around the country to different vaccine mandates. We saw, when the Biden administration came out with their OSHA vaccine mandate, you know, we represented an Alabama construction company, took that fight all the way to the Supreme Court and won. But now one of the mandates that's being challenged has been the vaccine mandate for the military. Now, Phil, I'm sure that when you were in and you were a Ranger, I mean, from what I hear from all of our service members, is they wind up getting jabbed with all kinds of things that, you know, aren't even necessarily FDA approved. But in this case, many of the SEALs are Christians, and they have religious objections to this particular vaccine's connection with aborted fetal cells. And so for them, they're thinking, look, this is a little bit of this is a bridge too far for us, because we feel like, you know, we're profiting from the murder of innocent people, and we feel like we can't do this in good conscience. So First Liberty Institute out of Texas, they do fantastic work. They're representing the SEALs. The SEALs got a preliminary injunction at trial, which means that, you know, for now, they don't have to comply with the vaccine mandate. And the Biden administration just appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, which is going to decide the appeal. We got to represent a former three-star general who was one of the founding members of the Delta Force. His name is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He works now for the Family Research Council. But he was one of the founding members of the Delta Force. He eventually rose to the rank of its commander. And he had a pretty stellar career in special operations. But he believed that the SEALs could be accommodated without hurting military readiness. So we got to represent him, and he got to tell the court why, as a former Special Forces commander, he could speak to this and say, you know, you can protect their rights without screwing up the military, and here's how you can do it.
Yeah, and by the way, I said it on my show earlier before he came on. I just kind of touched on the fact that you were filing on behalf of General Boykin, who happens to be one of my personal heroes. I mean, the guy is he's like not only one of the plank holders in Delta, longtime Special Forces guy. He's been on every major mission that had a movie written. I mean, like, you know, Chuck Norris should be like this. But he also loves the Lord, and he's not afraid to get up and share his own personal testimony, and it's always been that way. I mean, he's a guy of great, impeccable character. And so I'm pleased to see that he chose to put his name on the line for this. Tell me how it came about that you got General Boykin involved.
Well, believe it or not, it started off kind of as an accident. When there are high-profile cases like this, that are going on. A lot of the conservative legal organizations are in the same network, and we'll put a word out saying, hey, we have this case going on. We're interested in getting some help. Would you be interested in you know, giving us a hand? If so, dial in, we'll talk strategy, things like that. So when I got the email about this case, I thought it was at the U.S. Supreme Court. And while there are many worthwhile fights around the country going on, I tend to save our ammo for things that directly affect Alabama. So I'll jump in on Supreme Court cases because what the court decides is going to affect us. But otherwise, I try not to get involved. Well, in this case, we got in on the call. We were sharing ideas. And I just had the idea. I said, you know what? I know Jerry Boykin and I know some other former high-ranking officers in the Special Forces. What if I could get them to sign on to an amicus brief that explains to the court how you can protect religious liberty without hurting the military? Because my theory was, in spite of the law being the law, the court is going to be very, very scared about messing with the military. They want to leave that to the president, to the executive branch. But if you get a former Special Forces commander who's been one of the best stepping in and telling them, hey, it's going to be okay, they're going to feel a lot better about it. So I had that idea. Everybody in the room loved it. They were thrilled. And after that, I found out it was in front of the Fifth Circuit, which is not going to directly affect Alabama. But I figured, well, seemed to be a good idea. Everybody loved it. And if there's a group that I want to go out of my way to try to help, it's got to be the SEALs. They're worth it. So I said, okay. So I picked up the phone. I called General Boykin. We had met before. He knew who I was. And, you know, I discussed the idea with him, and he loved it. So he decided to go ahead and write out kind of an essay for the court for how the SEALs could be accommodated and why it shouldn't be hesitant to stick up for their rights. And I got to submit it for them. So that's how that went down.
Yeah, that's very cool. You know, you and I both had a chance to meet General Boykin because of him, his interactions with the Alabama Policy Institute, where you and I both spent some time. And he is truly a quality individual, just as sharp as they come. Well, so absolutely. So you've got and by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, I've never, despite, you know, the fact that I practice, I don't do a ton of appellate work. I do some, but I have never filed an amicus brief myself. It seems to me almost extraordinary that an individual of his stature would go out there and say, I will file a brief under my name, in conjunction with your assistance, obviously, but usually it comes in the form of a large body or a group or a major special interest group. But this is him saying, me and my experience are willing to be out there speaking to this issue.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is a little bit unconventional, but it is permissible. We figured it would be a unique angle in this case that the court would find helpful and persuasive, so we decided to go for it. I filed one other brief before like that. We've got a case right now in front of U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit where some liberals are trying to revive the Equal Rights Amendment, which could read a right to an abortion back into the Constitution. Well, in an amicus brief, I'm getting to represent the guy that led the charge for the ratification of the 27th Amendment, and he wanted to speak up and tell the court this is not at all the same thing. So in the same way, I let him do a lot of the writing, converted it to a brief, and I submitted it. So sometimes you can get really, really cool people in front of the court, you know, through this means. So I felt really honored to be able to do that for General Boykin, and really appreciate him stepping up to help defend our SEALs.
Well, I do too, and I appreciate your work on it. So tell me this, they've been temporarily enjoined, the government has, from enforcing the mandate against these 35 SEAL plaintiffs. I hear you a little bit in the background. Is there?
Yeah, I'm on daddy duty right now. I'm sorry.
You're good. That's music, man. But is there literally any expectation this will impact all Navy SEALs or all military service members?
As far as I know, it is not a class action. But there is another class action pending in front of the 11th Circuit. We will weigh on that too. The bottom line is I think, you know, this one will just protect the SEALs that are in on the case, but I think it's going to have a ripple effect for the rest of the military, though. So I think if the SEALs win here, it's going to strike a major blow to the Biden administration's attempt to run this freedom over, and then the military is going to have a really hard time justifying telling the rest of our service members to violate their convictions or get out of the service.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I couldn't help but notice, too, that even though it's in the Fifth Circuit, and we're in the 11th Circuit, for those who don't know. In the federal district courts, you have circuits, and we're in the 11th Circuit. So our Court of Appeals would be going through the 11th Circuit over in Atlanta. But you're in the 5th Circuit for this one, and yet Attorney General Steve Marshall also filed a brief in the same case on behalf of the SEALs.
Yeah, he did. He did. So, you know, out of our elected officials in Alabama, I got to be honest, a lot of times I'm disappointed in how they perform, but Steve Marshall, in my opinion, is definitely one of the better ones. The Republican AGs have been doing a lot in these high-profile cases to try to back up the good guys, to try to push the federal government to back off. And so Marshall joined up with a bunch of other Republican AGs, and they also tried to stick up for the SEALs. So I'm really grateful that he jumped in, and think he's doing good with that.
Well, I'm glad too. And listen, man, I appreciate you doing this. What's the next step? You filed your brief. Winter briefs submission is supposed to be concluded, and when does it go to the next level?
So the brief, the bottom line is amicus briefs are done now. We're supporting the Applebee's, so by now all the briefs are supposed to be in. So after this, Biden administration is going to file its reply brief, going to have oral argument, and the court is going to be making a decision. I expect this to kind of be on the fast track because we're talking about things like military readiness and especially the readiness of our special forces. And I think the courts are going to be hesitant to try to hold up the decision-making process. So I think they're going to want to decide quickly, can the SEALs be accommodated or not? So we should see some action soon.
All right, man. Well, keep us posted. And if something updates on this or other things that you're working on, we'll have you back on, all right?
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, man, tell folks where they can find out more about you if they want to.
Sure. So just check out alabamalawandliberty.org. That'd be great. We're having some bugs with our website right now. So if it seems a little funky, come back very, very soon because we're on the verge of having that ironed out. But either check it there or we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Law and Liberty AL. So you can find us there too.
All right, Matt. Thanks for what you do. Appreciate you, man. Have a great day.
Thanks. Likewise, Phil.
All right. Take care. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, man. Man, Matt's always got some good stuff, doesn't he? That's just very cool. Got 3-star general, Delta Force, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin to file a brief in support of the Navy SEALs against the vaccine mandates. That's just America right there is what that is. I'm loving it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. A little bit more, and then bottom of the hour, Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So I've got to jump off topic for a minute. First of all, let me just say this. I'm sure that many of you, like me, have seen the commercials out there about water contamination at Camp Lejeune Marine Base in North Carolina. You may have seen that. Well, speaking of taking care of our military, this is a huge deal. So I wanted to check all this out, right? I wanted to find out more about it. So I've got some friends that are actually working the issue, the law firm of Riley and Jackson. I know these folks personally. They're in Birmingham, but they work statewide. They work regionally, really. The folks at Riley and Jackson are directly working on this Camp Lejeune water thing that you've been seeing advertisements for. And I learned, literally, folks, there are like 19 different illnesses that have been linked to contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. Serious illnesses. So after meeting with the Riley and Jackson folks, I'm convinced, listen, here's the deal. I don't mind saying it. If you or any family member were at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, can you imagine 1953 to 1987? You should talk to my friends at Riley and Jackson. I've known the lawyers there, like I said, for many years. I've worked with them on several cases. They won't charge you for anything for the call, and you only pay them if you get a recovery. Call them. My suggestion is if you were there, it doesn't matter if you were stationed there, if you went there on training, if you're this there on TDY for a period, just call and ask them. They'll tell you if you do or do not qualify. 1953 to 1987. Here's their number, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. Again, that's 205-879-5000. And look, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would love for them to know. And I have to say this, since that's really basically like an ad for them. No representations made. The quality of legal service to be performed is greater than the quality of legal service performed by other lawyers. Bam. There you go. How fast can I say that? Yeah. Just check them out, man. And something else that's off topic here. I'm doing this section right now on the fit to fight the U.S. military. But, you know, I did my opening monologue on on basically the fact that the folks on the Customs and Border Patrol, I was just like so bothered by that segment I did yesterday about the manner in which they're being treated. Those are our troops too, by the way. Our Customs and Border Patrol are our troops. You talk about supporting the men and women in blue. Well, they are a hybrid. They work on the Department of Homeland Security. They wear green, but they are conducting police actions on the border, trying to guard our southern border, all our borders, really. But the southern border is the one that gets all the attention. Well, story just came out. So I did my whole monologue, by the way, in case you missed it, on why we need to care for them and tell them we appreciate them, because they're getting given nothing from up above. They're being given a thankless, almost impossible task. Well, Border Patrol agents, according to Fox News, story that just broke in the last 4 minutes. That's pretty cool. Breaking news, Border Patrol agents slam Karine Jean-Pierre's ignorant claim that illegal immigrants are not walking across the border. If you didn't see this, it's one of the reasons why I put together that segment we had yesterday. That literally, Karine Jean-Pierre, the glass ceiling breaking press secretary for the Biden administration, who does not seem to have her act together any day of the week, that she literally, when she was questioned by Peter Doocy from Fox about why it's okay to allow people to walk across the border potentially with COVID, and yet we can't have like a national tennis star play here in the United States in the U.S. Open, she said, well, they're not actually walking across the border. Well, so anyway, the agent, one agent spoke to Fox News and said, how out of touch can the administration possibly be? I guess this is a new level, the person said. Someone unvaccinated comes over on a plane was the question she was asked. You say that's not okay. Someone walks into Texas or Arizona unvaccinated, they're allowed to stay. Why? Her answer was, well, that's not how it works. And he says, that's what's happening, Deucey said. I know that's not what you guys want to have happen, but it's what's happening. But it's not like somebody walks over, Jean-Pierre. Well, I don't know what world she lives in, but it has got the men and women of Border Patrol incensed. And this article says, and I'm so thankful for this, it says Border Patrol agents are on the front lines dealing with migrants coming across the border in droves. Migrants encountered by the Border Patrol are generally processed and released into the U.S., often within hours of apprehension. Meanwhile, there's more than 500,000 more who have evaded Border Patrol this fiscal year alone. Agents were stunned by the remarks, it says. And then one agent said, there's only two reasons she said that. It's either because she's extremely dumb or she's flat out lying and hopes America is so stupid that they'll believe her. One agent said, and went on to say, 18 U.S. Code 1001 says it's a federal crime to knowingly make false statements to the U.S. government. Too bad the government is not held to the same standard as a citizenry, and that's assuming that Jean-Pierre is not dumb but just a liar. I mean, I'm telling you, this is, and the article goes on from there. So God bless them, but those are our men and women. They need to know that we care, and that we're going to get this fixed. We're going to take back the House and Senate. We've got to take back the presidency, and by God, we got to fix this southern border. There you go. All right, folks, coming up next, the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back.